Prayer chapter 23, which is found on page 270 on the top numbers, which is Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Just an addendum, in looking, preparing tonight, I came across the end of last letter. There's a demarcation for 22b, and it's mentioned in several places. It's not mentioned actually in the Hebrew text, but it's mentioned in the English text, and in the Hebrew it has a larger letter. So as it turns out, that half of the letter was actually put in later editions of Egeres HaKodesh. And the first editions that were published during the times of the Mittler Rebbe's life, they didn't include that, but by the time they published it, the Nikolaev edition in 1906, so they had that letter, so they stuck it on. So it's called, since it's related to it, it's part of the same letter, so they call it 22b in the translation. Starting chapter 23, I know that chapter 23 is a hard letter. How, let me say this with a smile, how do I know that chapter 23 is a hard letter, aside from the fact that that I'm not really familiar with the book of Daniel, which is what the first verse of the first line of the letter is, because it's all very strange language. But there is a sicha from the Friedrich Rebbe in Tufshin Dalad.
Okay.
When Friedrich Rebbe was already in America, and he's commenting, and he said that that Egeres HaKodesh 23, he calls it Perek 23, not Siman 23, is a very hard letter. So if the Friedrich Rebbe is going to say,
so are we doing 24 now?
It's a hard letter. So I'm going, who am I to argue?
Yeah.
So it starts off, the purpose of the letter, it's a long letter, it's not short. It's going to take us...
Begin the next year.
Yes. It's going to take us three times to get through it. Unless the end gets easy. I prepared the first third, but it could be that the last two-thirds that I didn't look at yet are easy and we can knock it off the next two-thirds next week, but I don't know because I didn't learn it. So I'm thinking it's going to take two or three times to get through it. The purpose of the letter is to encourage people, and he does this in a couple of places, to spend the time in the evening, especially between Mincha and Maariv, when you're just waiting around between Mincha and Maariv, learning together. And he specifically wants to push Barabim. Not that people should be sitting and learning their own thing, but there should be classes, and later on the Alter Rebbe recommends, like for example in Ein Yankov, or in Shulchan Aruch, which is practical halacha.
Right.
Now, generally, you get a shul full of people who are learned, and to sit around and learn, like Orach Chaim, for example, so it's like, yeah, I did that in yeshiva already, but it's amazing if a person isn't constantly reviewing
how much you forget.
How much you really don't forget. I mean, how much you do forget.
Yeah.
The expression, I've forgotten more than he'll ever know. I mean, but in this instance, I know more than most people have forgotten. Anyway, but so so he is now, the focus on the first part of this letter is with the importance of a minion, of 10. Uh-huh. And it starts out with a pusik, Begezeres Irin Pisgama Maima Kedishin, that this is just half the pusik. The pusik in Daniel, and the pusik states, the matter is by decree of angels. The word Irin means, how much is my Aramaic? I thought that meant like cities because of the word ear, but it does not. It comes from meaning the word angels. And the sentence, the pisgam is like a motto, is by the word of the holy ones, the Kedishin. What's that? That's how he goes. And he says that this statement, when used, and I don't know where else it's used, I have not come across this statement, refers to the Talmudic scholars who are referred to as angels.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
So this statement, the fact that it comes as the next statement, which is coming from a Mishnah,
right?
What he wants to allude to is that this statement is angelic by nature, holy by nature.
Right.
The rest of the verse states, so that all living beings may know that the Supreme One rules over the kingdom of man. giving it to whomever he wishes, and appointing the lowest of men over it. This was a prelude to the discussion between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar.
Uh-huh.
Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamt the interpretation of the dream,
right.
And he woke up, and he knew he dreamt a dream in his interpretation, so he called all his wise men, and he said, tell me what my dream was last night, and what did it mean?
Right.
And so Daniel, who was 18 years old at the time, says to him, listen, you know, it's not up to me, it's up to God. Just like, kind of like Yosef did,
exactly.
When he stood before Pharaoh and said that dream interpretations are from Hashem.
Right.
Okay, I don't think we're going to get into dreams now at this point, but that's too much of a sidetrack.
Yeah.
But generally, dreams are your brain just backwashing. And I wouldn't give too much importance to anything that you dream, however realistic it may seem. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. Yeah. Pardon?
A dream of a king. Might be more.
Yeah. So what he's saying is this statement that the Mishnah brings in is angelic by nature. And if you analyze it, it says that this is all for the expression of bringing down godliness to rule over the kingdom of man. So it says, Chachmei HaMishnah Allah V'Shalom. It says the Kedishin. Who are the Kedishin? The holy ones? Those are the sages of the Mishnah, of blessed memory, Shishana B'Mishnah Yisam, that they learn in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. It says over there, Asara Sheyeshin V'Oiskim B'Tedra, Shechina Shuriya B'Nehem. If you have 10 people sitting and learning together, so the divine presence dwells among them. Okay, the emphasis over here being the word dwell. There elsewhere it says al kol be asara shchinta sharia. On any gathering of 10, the divine presence rests. And there we're both of the differences. He makes a big difference in the verbiage, what he says later on. So we're not going to do that right now. But in both places, the word there is sharia, is rests. And it's the divine presence that rests. So how come you need two statements in the Mishnah that say the same thing? So this one is, so when it says every time you have 10, this divine presence rests, is different than 10 people occupying in Torah, the divine presence is dwelling among them. Because it's true that wherever you have 10 Jews together in the same place, you have the divine presence, but it's only a bederach makif. It's only a superficial thing. Like, for example, I would guarantee that at every Pistons game, there's a minyan. I guarantee there are 10 Jews sitting in the Palace of Auburn Hills for every single Pistons game.
Oh, no. From Jews?
No, Jews. Oh,
they don't even know.
You
don't
say what it is. Yeah. Jews.
Oh, yeah.
A person who doesn't keep mitzvahs still has a nefesh elokis. It doesn't say 10 people who are doing mitzvahs. It says people that, if you have 10 Jews in a room, and that doesn't even mean men. That means women and children also. Anytime you have 10 people in a room, so the divine presence is there. It's resting there. But what does it help the Pistons? They haven't been in the playoffs since when? They haven't won a championship since when? So, because most likely in every other arena around the nation, there's probably also 10 Jews in every game.
Right,
I don't know about, say, like Sacramento, maybe not. Let's see, Oklahoma City, one of those places, maybe not. But, you know, for the most part, so. So that's but when you have 10 people asking Batera, so now what we know from chapter 5, from learning Torah, as it says, that quoting a pasuk, that your Torah is in my intestines, it's in my guts, meaning to say that the Torah now is internalized. So when you have 10 people sitting and learning, so it says that the divine presence is felt in such a way that even the Malachi Hasharis can't go anywhere near there because they would be blown away. Okay, so 10 people sitting and learning is not only factored as if you have the divine presence present, but you have an internalization of the divine presence. This is why he quoted that this Mishnah here.
In this case, it means learning individually or together or both or either.
He wants to emphasize, that's a very good question. You have 10 people that are sitting in mind during their own business at 10 different tables, and each one of them is sitting and learning their own thing. Different right. books altogether.
Right.
Okay? So you see they're each doing their own thing. So on one hand, you do have 10 people there, but it doesn't have a minion specifically when everybody is doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing.
Right. I was going to say that on the next page.
Okay.
So because what you have, if you have 10 people learning by themselves, so you have the divine presence which is affecting superficially, and then you have, because we have a Mishnah later on, it says, afilu echad sheyeshu v'shchina, ha'yishtach v'teira, even if you have one person, so you have the Shechina there. Mm-hmm. So there is like 10 different expressions of Shechina combined in like one room.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so no, his emphasis is specifically if you have 10 people sitting and learning.
Learning the same thing.
Yeah, learning the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Generally, when you're talking about shuls where people know how to learn, yeah. It's very, very hard to do.
Very difficult, right.
It's very hard to get people together.
Right.
Last year, Shabbos Breishis. Mm. So there was a Verbrengen, a Shabbos Breishis Verbrengen, and as you know, Vimashteltzuch Shabbos Breishis Geit Menagans Yor, it's the way you act on Shabbos Breishis, it's an indication of how the whole year is going to go, and it's a time for making firm resolutions. So it was decided at the Verbrengen that, because this Chitas fits in sometime around that time, what's the Chitos over here?
Tishrei. It's the 20th of Tishrei.
20th of Tishrei.
Right.
So
it's in Sukkos.
Yeah, it's in Sukkos. So this the week after Sukkos. We had just finished learning this letter. Mm-hmm. And so they decided, you know what? Maybe we should have an Ein Yakif Shir. Mm. Okay? And they decided that Finman's going to do it. Thank you very much.
teaching to show up.
Yeah. teaching to frum people is very hard. Because I can't sit down and just read the Gemara. I have to prepare it. Right. So Baruch Hashem, I was able to get my hands on a copy of an index of the Rebbe's Sichas. Mm-hmm. And in this index, it lists there also where by page in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara, the Ein Yaakov starts with Brachas Aleph Aleph. So I looked at Brachas Aleph Aleph, and I read the Sichas, and it was a good shir over there. I gave a shir. And it went on for about 4 or 5 months, and then people just lost interest. We got up in the 4 or 5 months. I got all the way up to Vav and Ein Yaakov, which is like the pages are very small.
Right.
So we just got to the point where it just wasn't. So it fizzled out because listening people had. I have to say to him. I have to say to him. Oh, this is my only time to learn Rambam is right now. So they all had their things they had to do. So.
Yeah.
So Baruch Hashem, at least they're all in shul together. I mean, you know, that's
Baruch Hashem. Yeah.
So he says, that which is accomplished by learning the Sora. And things are accomplished with a Sora that are not with 10, that are not accomplished any other way. He says, Kizeh kol ha'adam. This is the purpose of every single person. This is the second time, at least that I know, that he uses the expression Kizeh kol ha'adam. The other time is actually included in one of the Yud-Beis Psukim back in chapter 41. It says, Zezeh kol ha'adam v'tachlis b'riyosa b'riyos kol ha'olam v'salyonim. Which is kind of what he says over here. That this is the purpose of every person. The creation of the purpose of the creation of the world and the purpose of every person is in order to make a dwelling place for God.
Right.
As he says, this is the purpose of every person is to cause the divine presence to come down here.
Right.
Hopefully in not just some kind of superficial way and we say, okay, there's the divine presence. It's at the palace of Auburn Hills. Okay, fine, so what? But it should be in such a way that its presence is felt. And he says, the whole reason why the descent of the neshama into this world was to facilitate this whole process of the divine presence coming into this world and elevating this world.
That's right.
Normally, we say, this is a chiddush the Alter Rebbe brings up. Normally, we say that Yerida Zu Tzarach Aliyah, the purpose of the descent is for an ascent.
Right.
Okay, what happens to the neshama? The neshama comes from a chalak yelakayim amal mamash. It's a portion of the essence of Hashem. And then what happens is it comes down into this world and it's enclosed in a physical body in a nefesh of Bahamas, and it's stuck in a world which is ruba kakula klippas. For the major most part, is an expression of the forces of evil. And it says that the Yeridizu, the Neshama, after 120 years, goes back up and has achieved an Aliyah because it's gone through this whole process. Okay? Here he's not saying that.
Right.
What he's saying here is listen to this one. This might sound like double talk if you're not listening. The Yerida itself is the Aliyah. Meaning, the Neshama coming down into this world and bringing the divine presence into this world isn't in itself an Aliyah.
The Aliyah, right.
For the world?
For everything, including the soul. If it's for the world and you're in the world,
for everything,
then it's for you too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to wait till 120 to get the Aliyah. You can get the Aliyah right now.
Right. It's meant to be gotten now.
And he says, that's his tachlis kol adam. This is what we're here for.
Right.
This is not some kind of side thing.
No,
the main reason why we're here in this world is to bring the divine presence down here.
The point isn't the exit.
Mm-mm. The point is being here.
Right.
Ki shchinas uzay asher begavei meroimim ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim lo yichalka le'emasai. As it's, I don't think that period belongs there actually, but yeah, he's got a comma there, and it's like one of those Oxford commas. It doesn't belong there either, in the English. That the divine presence and its strength that is in the highest of heights, Bigavi Maraim, and in the heavens and in the heavens of the heavens. There's different levels over here of revelation. That you have Begave Meraimim, and then Shemaim and Shmeha Shemaim, that refer to different levels of the godly presence which comes down here. Because the Rebbe, when he talks about the word Shechina, and the very first mimer of the Rebbe, Tavshin Yud, 1951, the Rebbe analyzes that statement, Ki Iker Shechina B'tachtoyim Hoysa. Because when Adam was in the world before the sin, the Iker Shechina was down here. So we ask, what does it mean, Iker Shechina? Where are we putting Iker Shechina in our GPS coordinates? Shechina, the word Shochein, so that's an Inuv Malchus. Because it's called Shechina in the Zohar and the Medrash, in the Kabbalah, that which was referred to as Shechina is called Malchus.
Right.
Okay, and then if you're assigning a name to it, one of the seven names of Hashem, that's Adnai. They're all this inyan of royalty.
Okay.
Of this elevatedness being brought down into this world.
Okay.
Okay, so so when we say that's Shechina regular. When we say Iker Shechina, we means the root of the Shechina or the main divine presence. So throughout that mimer, the Rebbe just said, "Oh well, it can't mean this level; it must be this other level. We're going to negate this lower." And finally, the Rebbe says, "Well, Iker Shechina, the main divine presence must be an expression of Malchus of Or Ein Sof, Malchus before Tzimtzum.
Yes,
which that's the will of Hashem saying, I want to be king, which is a primordial will which is before any of the creation process, and it's the impetus by which the creation process started with the first Tzimtzum.
Right.
That's what the Rebbe says is Iker Shechina. Yeah, you with me?
With the first symptom,
before the first symptom was the impetus for the first symptom.
The desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Lo yachakel emasai. And the heavens cannot contain, dwells and become magnified. Tishkaint is gadol b'teich b'nei Yisrael, that it becomes greater within the b'nei Yisrael. K'mo shekasev ki ani Hashem shoychin b'teich b'nei Yisrael, as it says, I Hashem dwell within. Notice the word b'teich. This one's going to zero in on this. B'teich means in.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean among. It's usually right. This interest is probably translated as among.
Here it is. Yeah.
It's yeah. Among.
Yeah. It says among. Yeah.
Yeah. So toch. Toch means inside. Among means like around.
Around, yeah.
Yeah, so the word b'teich is not translated correctly over here, but it doesn't make sense to say I'm going to dwell in the B'nai Yisrael.
Mm.
So. Okay. We make the same drasha when we say v'asali mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem. Make for me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among you, is the way the pshat is normally translates the verse. But the Friedrich Rebbe says, no, b'teich kol echad v'echad. It says, b'teich I'm in you. Make for me a sanctuary that I can dwell in you, plural.
Right.
Actually, it's a singular. In each and every one of you. And how does that happen? In the greatest way, al yidei oisa keteira v'hamitzvais v'asura dafka.
By ten expressly.
Now, so he's saying over here also, so it's not just learning, it's also doing mitzvahs. So if you have 10 people doing mitzvahs together, so then you also have a divine presence. How many communal mitzvahs do we have? Well, there's the mitzvah saying a Shema together, that's one mitzvah. The Shema Yisrael is a rabbinic mitzvah. Okay, so that constitutes your minyan. Okay, but you see, for example, there's a Mishnah in Brachas that says, how do you do a mezumen? So it says if there's three, so you say Nevarach Shachana Mishalei.
Right.
If there's ten. So you say Nevarach Elokeinu Shachana Mishalei.
Right.
The Mishnah continues. That's where the halacha stops.
Okay.
The halacha is from 10 till forever, you say Baruch Elokeinu Shachana Mishalei. But the Mishnah says that if you have 100, then you should say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Shulchanu Mishalei.
10 minutes.
Okay, and then it has—I don't remember the Mishnah on the top of my head—but it has also for 10,000 and 100,000, or maybe it's 10,000 and 600,000.
Wow.
Okay, we have this whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, who's going to count and say, you know what? Shucks, we only got 500,999.
Go dig up a Jew.
We need one more.
Go wake up that guy.
We need one more. Yeah.
Who's going to know? So that's why the halakha is not like that. But what that means is, even though we don't do it because practically you can't, the reason why, one of the simple reasons why a minion is a minion, other than the fact it's a gzeres akasuv based on the idea of what the word ada, congregation, but when you walk into a room, you can see 10 people in front of you.
Yeah.
You don't have to count, you don't have to go, 19, 20, 21, 22. If you had 100, you'd have to stop there and count. Yeah. 10 people you walk in, it's enough of a group, of a gathering, because of the word ada, that you can look around and say, oh, we've got 10.
Right.
Okay, your eye could split it up. You got four over here and four over here and two, or you have five over here and five over there, right, three, yeah. Six. Four, right. Your eye can just do that. You don't even have to count 10.
Right.
Okay, this whole business with Hoshia, Esamecha, Uvaras, Nachasecha, Ach Tzadikim, Yed L'Shmecha, Yeshu Shem Espanecha, or something else that has got 10 to it, Baramata, Hashem, Alakeinu, Malachalam, Amaitzi, Lachem, and Haaretz, all these 10 things.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine, So that's why we have 10 specifically, and this 10, so it helps all the other mitzvahs that a person does if they're doing them communally to draw down the divine presence in such a magnanimous way. I would think then it would be what happens if participating at a wedding or participating at a funeral, that these are communal mitzvahs. Mm. Whereas, let's say, if you had 10 people wearing tzitzis all together, I don't think you would say that they're wearing tzitzis all together. Yeah, it's kind of like the same guy sitting and learning by themselves, which it's a good thing, but I don't think, whereas...
The 10 guys shaking yes rock doesn't quite work.
Yeah, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Kamosha Kosev Rizal, the Kamosha Amar Rizal, Asiya Teich Teich. It says we bring a Gezerah Shava from Teich. And that's the word, because it says in the previous verse, where is it? Tishkan Tisgadol B'Teich B'nei Yisrael. And then it says, there's a pasuk by the Meraglim. Hmm. Okay, but the Meraglim, it also says, it calls them an Eda, and it says, B'Teich Eda Hara Hazeh. There it says, Eda Hara. But it's still called an Eda, and it's still B'Teich.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's in. There's a congregation we know from the Meraglim, because there were 10 that were off the track and 2 that were on. So you have 10 guys that were together. They were composed one group, and they're called a congregation. And those other mitzvahs are supposed to be done with an Eda, which means with the congregation. And that would mean, therefore, that they have to be done with 10.
Yeah.
But the key word over there is Teich. Teich means in. That the purpose of the getting together, the congregation, getting together, the minyan, the 10 people, is in order to have this divine presence internalized. Okay? Hence, the nuance and the chiddush of why it is so important that 10 people should all be learning together.
Mm-hmm.
As it says, within your midst, singular, is holiness. Anything amounting to holiness, you can't do with less than 10. Davash Kedusha means an amen yeshme rabba, baruchu kedusha. Those are called davash kedusha. And that has to be done, and kaddish, those has to be done with 10. Good.
When X rabbi gives a speech on Shabbos, that's more or less, it's nothing but Torah learning for the whole congregation.
I would hope so.
If they're participating,
assuming you've got 10 people awake, and assuming that the speech is not it's not just politics,
right?
But if it's actual a Torah subject, Torah thought. So hence okay.
Yeah, you do have shuls where the rabbi doesn't say a sermon, but people sit and learn for like a half an hour between Kriyas HaTorah and
Masaf. Oh, Ron, they never heard of speech too.
Yeah.
They do. They learn, then he gives a quick Devar Torah.
They do both. Okay,
so they get the.
The whole purpose of the speech is to be have divrei hisayrus. You should at least have something to say when you go home by after kiddush at the table. Have something there. Yeah. So you're right. No, it's a very purposeful thing. And rabbis have been saying Divrei Torah after Kriyas HaTorah, I think, since as long as there's been Kriyas HaTorah.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Umashum hachi nami istik lahu. And because of this now, it's also required to resolve by the sages. L'miyalef mikra. To learn from a verse. Menayin shafil echash yeshiv b'isik v'Torah. And how the Mishnah continues, and how do you know that even if one person is sitting and learning Torah in that mitzvah, that in that Mishnah, it doesn't say Shechina Shari, it says it's Mekabel Schar. The Mishnah comes all the way down, starts with 10 people are sitting and learning in Torah, and then 5 people are sitting and learning in Torah, and 3 people are sitting and learning Torah. All these have Pesukim. Two people. It says, how do you know the Shechina Sharia B'neihem, that the divine presence is resting between them, between the two people? By one, it says, how do you know that one person is sitting in his Mekabel Schar? Okay. Which means... it's not really the best thing to be sitting and learning by oneself. Here's this is the Jewish guilt coming in. Okay, I've been sitting and learning all these years. I know how to learn. You want me to sit in an Ashir of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? I could give the Kitzur and Kitzur Shulchan better than that guy could.
Yeah.
And you want me to sit and listen to it? So the answer the Alter Rebbe gives is yes. Okay, because
I have.
No, it's going to do yesh, not yesh. I mean, it's, you know, it probably is true. Yeah, so. You know, what was really good, though, is if you get somebody and they say something very simple, and then everybody jumps on it and says, wait a minute. I mean, yeah. Today's Hayom Yom, today being Tes Tavis.
Yeah.
So in the Hayom Yom, so it says that the custom of Lubavitch is to say, Shehem Yishachal and Lehevel Larik and Aleinu, and every Aleinu, even Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, is what it says in the Hayom Yom.
Okay.
In the English, which was translated by Rabbi Kagan Olive Shalom, it says, even in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So somebody pointed out, it doesn't say in Yom Kippur in the Hayom Yom. In the English, it says Musaf Yom Kippur. Okay? And in the... So we had... I left shul 20 minutes after davening was over. Because we're going back and forth, and we're checking, and we're looking, and we're thising, and we're that. It's just a simple statement. Did the Rebbe mean to leave out Yom Kippur, and finally came up with the conclusion that when a Yachid davens on Yom Kippur, he doesn't say Aleinu. It's only in the repetition. Whereas in Rosh Hashanah, the Yachid does say Aleinu. So you have to say Shehem Yishtachal V'Shavu Yishtachal V'Shavu L'Rik. Okay? All this was based on some little nuance. So you can do this with Kitzur Shulchan Aruch too. I mean, you know, so these little nuances. So it says, so, V'gam tzois l'matzo schamach l'min ha-mikra el l'kvi ha-schar bilvad l'yachid l'fi erchai. That verse, what do we find in that Mishnah? We start with 10, causes a divine presence, and goes all the way down to 2, that causes a divine presence to dwell. But the person, one person is sitting, the verse that we have shows that he gets schar. What's schar? Schar is a reciprocal relationship. You work so much, you get so much. That's what he says, l'fi erchai.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so sitting and learning by yourself, okay, good. Just like davening by yourself. A person should daven with a minyan. Is there anything wrong with davening by yourself? I'm saying the words. So the way it was described to me by Sholem Ber Gordon Olav Sholem is that davening with a minyan is like taking an express train, whereas davening by yourself is like taking a local. Mm-hmm. Because when a person's davening with a minyan, so it says, even 10 Rishoyim make a minyan. 9 Tzaddikim doesn't make a minyan. 10 Rishoyim make a minyan. You could say, Kaddish Kaddish and Baruch Hu with 10 Rishoyim there. Proof? Walk into any shul, hello. Anyway. Oops. Anyway. So, but 9 Tzaddikim, 9 Tzaddikim, not. Okay, because when people are davening together and you have this medium whereby the divine presence is manifest in such a magnificent way, so they're not checking the guy out. Oh, let's see what this guy's making. What's he asking about? Is he really paying attention? Is it so? There's a person davening by themselves. So davening by himself is better than not davening. But the person's scrutinized. Is he paying attention to what he's saying?
Yeah.
Is he doing what he's really feeling that he's saying that he's feeling? Is this person on the up and up, or is he faking? So this person is his prayers are scrutinized.
Right.
Okay, this was one of the things. Yeah. There was the famous Zhlobner Chasana between the Alter Rebbe's granddaughter and the Levi Yitzchak Barditch's granddaughter. Okay, so usually it says the Mittler Rebbe's son and Olivia Zabrikdusha's granddaughter, but you know, it's the same thing. So the story goes that, I don't know if it's the day before the wedding, the day of the wedding, I'm not exactly sure. That's probably the day before. So the Alter Rebbe sent, I guess you call him a spy, but a messenger to see where Levi Yitzchak Berdichev wasn't davening. So it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and he came back and said he davened with the minyan. He's done davening already. So the Alter Rebbe said, "Oy, I have such a machutin. Look at this person." Right away he gets up, and he davens right away, and his tefillos are accepted. Me, I have to sit, and I have to learn, and I have to think, and I have to daven very, very slowly. And then maybe my tefillos are going to be accepted. Okay? So it just so happened that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev sent somebody over to see where the Alter Rebbe was up to. So he came back and he said, I think he said that he was either holding, he was just taking his three steps back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. Okay. So Levi Yitzchak Berdichev said, "Oy, look what a machutin I have. Me, I have to daven with a minyan because ver benich and vubenich. What kind of person am I? I'm not going to daven with a minyan. I'm afraid my prayers are not going to get accepted. But my mechutin, anytime he davens, his prayers are accepted." Okay, so it's a cute story. So
it's very powerful.
Yeah. The person is sitting and learning. It says in the Mishnah that he is mekabel schar. Mekabel schar is only how much you're able to do.
Ouch.
Okay? If I'm giving you more than you're able to mekabel, let's say Hashem's size. Oh, this guy's sitting and he's learning by himself. And you know what? I'm just going to do all this stuff. I'm just going to give him. Full jets. Probably blow the guy away. You're going to do a nod of an
interview. What do you mean full jets?
You're going to nod.
Done.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Little pinky.
Okay. Done.
He's probably do a nod of an interview on the guy. You know, the guy would just fly out of his body. Because it's not lefi ercho. Hashem says, oh, he did this much? So this is how much he gets. It's all measured and accounted for. It's, you know, accounts receivable, accounts payable, bottom lines over here. That's fine. Okay? But even two people, if they're just two people, you know, I don't even have 10 people. Okay, because I wonder if you have 10 people sitting around, how many of them are sleeping? Well, you know, you got some percentage of people that are not listening, you know, so that's why he says there's a Mishnah that says there are certain subjects that you can't learn with more than three people, and some subjects you can't learn with more than two people, and some subjects you can't learn with even more than one person. You can only do it one person. Because what's going to happen is this guy's going to start paying attention, he's going to stop paying attention. You know, so it says the laws of Arias, you shouldn't learn with two people. Because what's going to happen? This guy's going to fall asleep, or he's going to half dream, he's going to start dreaming about something, he's going to focus in again, and he's going to get, oh, the rabbi said I'm allowed to do such and such. When the rabbi said exactly the opposite.
Right.
So, in those instances, we say it has to be very specific numbers of how many people are learning those things together, but if you have, still, the advantage of learning publicly over the individual's learning is be'ein aruch, because when a person is learning berabim publicly, he's causing the divine presence, which up until now is only affecting the world in a superficial manner, and is drawing it down into panemius, is drawing it down inside the world. Where the person is learning by himself, okay, so you know, and when does he get the schar? Schar's not for now. Schar's for Olam Haba. Hayayim lasayisim olamacha lekabel schar. Today you work, tomorrow you get your reward. So this person's going to sit his whole life, and he's going to sit by himself, and he's going to learn. So, okay, he's doing a good thing, fine, I'm not going to criticize anybody, but you don't see what the effect that he has in this world.
But he didn't affect his world.
Nope.
That's scary.
Nope, because where is he getting it? He's getting it in the world to come. Right. He's not even getting it in this world.
The point
he's
is
he's affecting the world?
Not as well, right.
Of course not he's as well. Of course he's affecting the world,
right.
But not
it's better
but not on that level.
It's better than watching TV.
Yeah. Far better than that.
Unless the person is using the Torah to ingrandize himself, then it probably he'd be better.
Then it'd be better,
it'd better if he was watching television.
I don't know. It says even if you're learning for the wrong reason.
Okay, that's true.
You'll come to the right reason.
The whole,
I don't know how much TV you can watch that'll affect you for good ever.
Yeah, yeah. the whole letter with the Lange Brief, which is this long 189-page letter that the Friedeker Rebbe supposedly wrote to his daughter, which he conveniently left for this place where his secretary could steal it. You know, so it's not so sure that he was actually writing it for his daughter. Uh-huh. He had a whole history of Hasidus before the Alter Rebbe.
Okay.
And it talks about this guy who was so holy he didn't even eat peas.
What?
You know, this is how holy he was, because peas have bugs in them, you know. So,
okay.
You know, so he wanted everybody to see what a great person he was, because he didn't eat peas. Erech Moroidim Aval, Le'in Hasharish Kedushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you're talking about the divine presence, the holiness of the divine presence resting here, Ein Lo Erech Aleihem Klal. It's no way comparable. You have 10 people who identify themselves as a Rishoyim, and they're getting together and they're doing something publicly all together.
Mm.
So it says the divine presence is there in a palpable way, in such, and to what extent, up until the point, if you make a diuk, up until this point, he's been saying Shechina.
Mm.
Shechina is Malchus. Suddenly over here, he says, Le'in Hasharish Kedushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to say Hashar is Hashchina. Kadosh Baruch is a higher level of Elokus.
Mm.
So this person, these people that are sitting and doing something together, it says the godliness is being manifest in the world right now. We don't have to wait for Mashiach, Olam Haba, Tchias Hamashiach. Not right this second. Is no way comparable to the level that those Jews are on. Those Jews could have souls of Malchus, of Asiyah Haruchni, which he describes in chapter 2 as the lowest of the lowest level manifestation of soul.
Mm.
You have 10 of them sitting and learning together. They're drawing down, basically, Chesed of Atzilus.
Right. Jeez.
The Hefer Shebein Hashar Shlekvi Yaschar Muven lemevine mada, and compare that to what happens to one person sitting and learning. So there's no way comparable as to those people who he says who understand from none or have a knowledgeable understanding. Which this expression lemevine mada is an interesting one. One of the commentaries zeroed in, meaning to say that if a person were to sit, how does a person get das? Is they sit and they think about something until it comes to the concrete terms.
Right.
So he's saying over here that he doesn't need to discuss this topic anymore for those people who are the Mevini Mada. If you're really going to sit and think about this and make it something which is real to you, not just some kind of book idea theory,
right.
But it's now real to you, like 2 + 2 = 4, you'll see and understand that there is a tremendous advantage of 10 people sitting and learning to one person sitting and learning by himself. Ki kvias schar hu shemer Hashem lenefesh tederashenu, because this, that a person's apportioned a reward, is that Hashem illuminates the souls of those who look for him, ba'or terasa, with the light of his tera, and I'm going to say lowercase h. Does he have it with the light? It just says the Torah. Him that seeks him.
The
light of the Torah. So here it's his Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that it's the Torah that the person is. The pshat might be other words. I didn't look up the pasuk. It might be capital H, his Torah.
You're talking about someone who learns by himself.
Someone who learns. Shehumata levush imamish. That it says that Hashem is enclosed and engarbed to the Torah that a person learns.
Right, okay.
Lachinikra Torah, or that's what the Torah is called, like Shenemar Oita Ar Kisalma. He envelops the light like a garment. Mm. And that's going to refer to the light, that's going to refer to the Torah. Vahanevish hu baals gul v'tachlis b'kol koichai seha. The very interesting thing he says over here. The soul is limited in its potentials and powers. Aye, before chapter 2, the very beginning of Tanya. The soul is a chelik elikam im al mamish. If you could draw a picture of a soul, it would look exactly as a picture you could draw of a sham, if you could draw such a thing. And here he's saying, oh, but wait a minute. In that statement, what do we emphasize? Chelik elikam im al mamish. The emphasis over there is on the mamish, more than anything. Really, it is! Here, the emphasis is on the word chelik. It's a piece.
Uh-huh.
Even though the neshama is taka, it looks exactly like Hashem because it's a piece of infinity. It's only just a piece.
Mm.
So the reward that the person is going to get for learning by himself is going to be based on that piece of his neshama. Therefore, the godliness that this person is able to receive, which we said before, is going to not even going to come until now. It's going to come in the world to come. When he's sitting and divesting himself of a body, and he's sitting in Gan Eden over there with the fancy tables and all the sages, and he sees the Torah that he learned and the expressions of the Torah, and he's just like having a ball until Mashiach comes. Oh, it's so delicious. It's so wonderful. It's all be'erech, his capabilities. Yeah. Because our neshama actually is limited. Al ken yispol lev mevakshei Hashem b'shasa tefila ukiyotzi ba. That's why it says, if a person really wants to get their heart excited and they're really looking for Hashem, like for example at the time of davening or some other time, ki bo yismach libam v'yagel af gilos v'ranan v'tis'anik nashim b'noyam Hashem. It's the middle of a sentence, but I'm going to translate it here. That this, the person will gladden his heart and he'll be happiness. There's all these different words for happiness. And joy and gladness, and he'll delight, his soul will delight in the sweetness of Hashem. V'ayra, and Hashem's light, v'hiskalusa, m'mayta, levushim, when he's enclosed and encompassed in his garments, shuhu ha-teira, which is the garment of Hashem, is the teira, v'yaisa kabarachatze, and it's coming out like flying arrows, v'zu kiviya skar ha-teira, akavuz tami v'nefesh amaloi ba. And this is the reward which is affected by even those people who have v'yaisitim la-teira. It says in Pirkei Avos also, a person should make sure they have kviyas itim b'teira. They should have set times for learning Teira. And the Rebbe used to say, when it says set times, it doesn't mean set it on the clock. It means set it in your soul. That the time should for learning Torah should be the reason why a person wakes up. That's the motivation for the day. Such that if a person asks you, what do you do for a living? You could say, I learn an hour a day. I says, what is that? You what? You pay your bills? He said, no. You didn't ask me how I make money. You asked me what I do for a living. But midas balaptman. With this, we make yourself alive. Okay, you have out now, for the last couple of years, you have these chitas pamphlets that came out in English called Chayenu. You've seen those.
Yeah.
They have in it a Mimer, and they have Chumash, Tilim, Rambam, Tanya, and some other stuff they put in there. I don't know if they put Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi is in the Hebrew one, I know for sure. So they came out with a very interesting campaign this year. It's all over buses in Brooklyn. It says, don't just learn, live. Ki hu chayenu. You know, because it's our life. You know, chayenu is the name of the magazine, the publication.
Yeah.
Don't learn it, live it.
Live it, that's right. Exactly.
Okay? So, that's what the Rebbe was saying. It's not just something, I got to learn now. No. In actuality, the time that we spend learning, the time we have set aside learning should be actually our Shabbos of the day. And just like you wouldn't answer your cell phone or be distracted by mundane matters, on Shabbos, and it'll be totally complete. What happens if your phone starts ringing on Shabbos morning?
Nothing.
It rings. Big deal. It's ringing. So what? Okay? So that time that you've set, that this is the time when I'm learning, you know what? If it's important, either they'll call back to leave a message, and by the time you get there, you'll find out that the emergency really isn't an emergency anymore. which is usually the case. And if it is an emergency, so now you'll handle it. It didn't become less of an emergency because you didn't handle it way back when. Okay, so that's the idea of kvias. But he's going to take, we'll take it up next time. But when we're talking about Hasharis Ha'ara, when you're talking about Hashem coming down and now being manifest in the world, that's not the fi erech anything. That's not comparable to anything you're doing. That's be'ein aruch. No way comparable to what you're accomplishing is what you're getting accomplished. You're accomplishing so much, and this is Hashem doing so. Oh, you're doing that? Fine. Fits in the lines of you're giving your all. Oh, good. Hashem gives his all, and his Hashem's all is a lot bigger than ours.
Yeah.
Okay. We got up to on page Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph by the period, which is about 10 lines from the bottom. The first word is Ba Avol Hashara Hashara He, to be continued.